Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 49, Second Opinion. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me once again is my co-host, Scott Michella.
I'm back. You can't get rid of me.
Well, I appreciate you being here, because we've got some more Nintendo stuff to talk about. We've got some news. We've got some information about some cool Nintendo collectibles. And we've got our big topic this week, which is going to be about the upcoming Legend of Zelda for Wii U. Now, we found out a little bit of news about the new Zelda earlier this week. We learned that 500 fans will be able to go play the game. If they can't be at E3, they can go check it out at Nintendo New York. So if you want to be one of those 500, you should probably line up right now. And we found out there's actually going to be two different demos available at E3, and I guess probably at this Nintendo New York event. But what we're going to be talking about is just what we would like to see from the new Zelda game. And so that will be our big topic coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's kick things off with some news. And the first news topic I wanted to discuss is something that that came out just, I guess it was about a week ago. There were reports that Nintendo is going through some, diversification processes. They have announced there's going to be so-called articles of incorporation for new types of ventures. And the first thing I want to say about this is do not freak out. This does not mean that Nintendo is starting to get out of the video game console biz or anything like that. This is kind of a normal business practice. But I thought we would talk about it a little bit, go down the list of these new ventures, and run through these and see if there's anything interesting that might come out of this. So the four areas that I think they were talking about were medical and health devices, computer software, eating establishments, and IP licensing. Now, some of that stuff we've seen Nintendo deal with before, some of it not so much. But I thought we could discuss this a little bit. Scott, do you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising they haven't done this already. It's kind of not a good thing that they haven't done this already. A lot of other companies as big as Nintendo have figured out ways to diversify and
yes, this is true,
and make money doing things other than their core business. And Nintendo's just starting this now. I mean, they've done a lot of this stuff in drips and drabs, but it makes a lot of sense. The only one that's kind of odd to me is the medical and health devices.
Really? Because that one seems totally normal to me.
Don't see them getting into the the business of equipping hospitals with equipment, but...
Well, probably not, but, this is something they've obviously been toying around with when it comes to video games. We got the Wii Balance Board, which is, sort of a health thing. There was the Vitality Sensor that never ended up coming out. And then, of course, there's their Quality of Life Initiative that was supposed to be, a sleep-related thing. So maybe it means that that's going to, come back off the shelf. Maybe it means they'll be trying that again. Maybe it means they'll be trying other new stuff. But it's clearly been an area they've been interested in for a while now. So it makes sense that, they would maybe make a special division for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess they also had the Poke Walker.
That's right. And the 3DS counts your steps.
Yeah, yeah. So, to me, that stuff all makes perfect sense. I mean, if there's anything that seems a little weird to me, it might be the eating establishments part. I don't think it's really weird that Nintendo, would get into that because, they're a big company. And in fact, they might have already tried something like this. In fact, this might just be a sort of change in wording and the way that this is presented. They might already actually kind of have something like this. And of course, they actually do run some nice eating establishments within the actual, Nintendo headquarters and companies.
Except only you and people that work at Nintendo would know this.
I suppose, but hey, if they decide that the fabled Cafe Mario becomes open to the public, that'd be pretty tasty.
Yeah, this kind of thing is popular in Japan. I know just a lot of popular anime will get a themed cafe or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming there's a Yo-Kai Watch cafe somewhere in Japan. There must be, because that was a huge, huge phenomenon over there. So I don't see that happening here unless they're going to do like a showbiz Pizza Time theater or something like what Nolan Bushnell tried to do with the Gamer Cafe, the guy who founded Atari. Those haven't gone so well here, but maybe I would love to have one.
What are your thoughts when it comes to this computer software stuff? I mean, obviously that's something that Nintendo has been involved with in the past. It's, you know, very close related to, you know, what they do with you know, console and mobile games. So what do you think about that one?
Yeah, it feels like a natural next step after them getting into the mobile gaming space. But it feels very much like this is coming very late to the game. They used to make computer software or license their IPs for computer software. Mm-hmm. Some of it is super questionable. If you want to have a good laugh, look up the DOS version of Super Mario Brothers. It's really ridiculous. It's screen by screen. It doesn't scroll. So when you jump off the edge of the screen, it goes to the next screen and you have no idea where you are in the middle of that jump. They also
Mario has taught typing before.
Yeah, there was a typing tutor. Exactly. I was going to mention that. Mm-hmm. So they've been out of the game in the PC space for a while. I think what I'm most interested in would be the possibility of Nintendo developing a VR experience.
Well, yeah, I hadn't really thought of that.
Without us having to rely on Nintendo to develop the hardware. If somebody mm-hmm. gets the hardware end right, I'm certain Nintendo could get the right VR experience for their IPs. And who wouldn't love to be inside a Super Mario world?
Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. I was thinking that it might be something more along the lines of, you know, maybe they're just going to do something with, you know, Miiverse or some sort of expansion along those lines.
Well, that would be disappointing, wouldn't it?
Well, like I said, I'm not really expecting...
You're not expecting
these are
going to
be... Yeah, I don't expect these are going to be huge new ventures. I think that they are still going to be very, very focused on what they mainly do, which is making, you know, distinctive handheld and console experiences. But yeah, if they got into VR that way and, you know, made something sort of as a trial, I think that'd be kind of fun. You know, their last venture into VR, you know, it could have gone a little better by that. Of course, I mean the Virtual Boy.
Yep.
So yeah, if they decided to do it and not have to build their own hardware to do that, that would be kind of fun.
Also, where are my Virtual Boy games for the 3DS? This is a crime. A crime.
It's a very good question.
I'm certain porting those games was probably a nightmare. The technical way that the Virtual Boy painted each screen is ridiculous if you look into it. And I'm sure the issue is emulating that. Someone's built an emulator already for the PC for the Virtual Boy. Maybe they could pay for that.
Yeah, last year, of course, was the 20th anniversary of Virtual Boy. I thought, well, maybe that would be an excuse for them to bring those games back. But then again, they're probably just as happy if we continue to totally forget about it. So
it doesn't surprise me too much. Put them in a package. I'll buy it. I'll buy that.
The last part of this Articles of Incorporation, of course, is IP licensing. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Nintendo's been doing a lot of that recently. They've said it's a priority. They're doing stuff more with toys. They've said they're going to have, you know, movies out within probably 3 years, I think is what they were targeting. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're doing this whole theme park initiative. So it makes total sense. That's all just, you know, part of what we've seen before. Just, you know, making that a little bit more official and separate, I suppose.
Yeah.
So
that theme park initiative, that was with Universal, right?
Right, right.
I wish mm-hmm. they would make their own theme park instead of just being a land. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to undertake. I mean, you probably do want to bring in, you know, already have someone who is a professional in doing this sort of thing. So it makes sense to partner up with another company.
I wish they would have partnered with Disney.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that seems like the match made in heaven, so to speak. But yeah, since they are relying on other companies, it makes sense to be like, yeah, we're going to have this whole IP licensing group department thing that's even, you know, bigger than, you know, whatever currently exists. So
as long as we don't get a retread of like a CDI game or something. No,
well,
CDI
yes.
initiatives.
Yeah, things have changed a lot since then, but I don't think they're going to be changing that much even with these new articles of incorporation. So I just wanted to run down those a little bit. And now let's move on to something a little more interesting. such as new game announcements. Now, this one hasn't been announced for the US yet, but I noticed that over in Europe, they announced a new game for 3DS called Teddy Together. Have you heard about this title?
This looks ridiculous. I just looked at it. It's silly.
Well, it's this game where this magical living teddy bear comes to life. I guess it's kind of like Nintendogs, only instead of taking care of kitties and puppies, you are taking care of this teddy bear and what they're calling an interactive bedtime story. It has mini games, it has amiibo compatibility to earn coins, but overall, it appears to be what I would consider a baby game for babies.
Is this a first-party published game? Is this Nintendo publishing this?
It appears to be. That's what it sounded like from the press release. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wish they would have given us something else other than Teddy Together.
Well, I don't think
we're not even getting it.
We might be getting it, but they haven't said so yet. But yeah, I don't think this is aimed at me. I don't think it is aimed at you. It does seem to be aimed at little kids. You know, maybe they're picking up the 2DS now that the price drop has kicked in. So it is definitely not for gamers like you and I. And so I don't want to, you know, harp on it too much. But, you know, it's a new product announcement from Nintendo. So I thought I would make a brief mention of it. It's coming out on July 1st.
Can't wait.
Now, as for something that is available now and available in the U.S., I would like to discuss the recent Hyrule Warriors DLC that came out last week. First and foremost, Medley, the bird girl from Wind Waker, is out as a free playable character in both Hyrule Warriors on Wii U and Hyrule Warriors Legends on 3DS. Now, I forget, have you played a whole lot of Hyrule Warriors?
No, not at all. I know what it is. It's just not the kind of game I'm into. I know it's just a hack and slash themed in the Zelda universe.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really appeal to me. I don't know if I hit a dry spell with other things that I, you know, have finished, maybe I'll go play that. But I've got a lot of games on my list that I have to play. So, you know.
Yeah, the Warriors games are definitely an acquired taste. They do get very repetitive. But, you know, having Zelda characters in there, I think, makes it a lot more fun than if it's characters that you don't already know. And, you know, it's fun to play with Medley. She's got these wind attacks, as you might expect. She's got her magic harp to attack with that. And, of course, you know, being a bird character, she does these crazy aerial juggles and can knock, you know, like dozens of enemies up into the air all at once and, you know, lay the smackdown on them. So I haven't played with her a ton, but, you know, so far so good. Seems like a pretty fun character. Mm-hmm. Then in addition to that, there is the new Wind Waker DLC pack for Hyrule Warriors Legends. It only adds 16 new My Fairy costumes to the game, along with a new adventure mode map, but it's only 99 cents. So, you know, it's not much of a risk if you want to download that.
I guess for 99 cents, it's kind of a no-brainer if you own this game to, you know, get it. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of content for 99 cents. It's practically free.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a lot of content, but yeah, like you said, the price is definitely right. Now, moving on to another topic that you are probably especially interested in, Scott. Some of the details came out on the upcoming new Mega Man CG cartoon. Have you been following this?
You know, maybe I was vaguely aware that there was going to be a Mega Man CG cartoon. Seeing the character design was pretty cool. He's way better than the Captain N version of Mega Man.
Really?
Don't you think?
Well, I will give you that he is way better than the Captain N version. And okay, he's way better than, you know, the buff, really human-looking Ruby Spears version.
Yeah.
From the early 90s.
Yeah.
But he's also, you know, really lanky with these really skinny upper arms and really skinny thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of what they did to Sonic the Hedgehog over the years,
yeah,
you know, especially in the recent, you know, Sonic Boom stuff.
Yep.
And just something about his face looks kind of off. Kind of reminds me of like a character from that old CG movie Ants or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But, I mean, all things considered, it could be much worse. You know, it's not like it's bad box art Mega Man, or like you said, horrible green chain-smoking Captain N Mega Man.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, what really matters is what they do with the character and the story and the property when this comes out.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, who's this cartoon for? Because they haven't made a new Mega Man game in quite a while, and if they're mm-hmm. targeting this towards kids, do kids even really know who Mega Man is?
Well, sure, they've been playing Smash Brothers.
All right. I'll give you that, but...
So, to me, I think it would have made a whole lot of sense to actually use the Smash Brothers character design, but it kind of seems like they're doing their own thing. And here, let me read what Capcom wrote about this on their website.
Please do.
They say, the new animated Mega Man series will follow Aki Light, a normal, upbeat, and above all, optimistic young school-aged robot living in Silicon City. He soon learns that deep within his programming are secret protocols that allow him to transform, giving him nanocore armor, a Mega Buster, and the iconic helmet to turn him into a superhero, Mega Man.
Are they retconning the whole Mega Man universe here with this?
Well, yeah, it's basically a reimagining, it sounds like, for the most part. I mean, his last name is Light, so that's good. We know that Dr. Light is involved. And they also mentioned that Rush and other famous characters are going to be involved. But to me, this sounds kind of like it's going to be about a kid superhero, basically. You know, sort of living out a fantasy of, you know, turning from, you know, a normal child, albeit a robot normal child, into a superhero. This is from the people that made Ben 10. So you can certainly feel that kind of influence in this.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously they're taking some liberties. Aki Light, I don't know about Aki. That's kind of weird. There was a comic book that came out like more than 10 years ago that was kind of similar, where he's like, oh, he's just a normal kid going to school, mm-hmm. and his name is Rocky Light. And Rocky and Aki, they kind of sound alike.
Yeah.
I think it's probably just a coincidence.
Yeah.
But there are some similarities there. So I'm really not in love with the character design. And, you know, I'm a little curious as to, you know, how this is all going to play out. But, you know, I'm certainly going to take a wait-and-see approach. What are your thoughts at present?
I don't usually complain about more Mega Man, so...
It's a good point.
I'm
can take what we can get.
I'm not going to complain here. It may mean even more merchandising and, you know, more toys or...
Well, God forbid that they have a game come out at the same time that this thing comes out.
Yeah. What game?
Well, I mean, maybe, I'm not saying there is one, but there could be one. This isn't coming out until sometime next year.
Yeah,
so
you think Capcom's making a game? I think they're too busy. I don't know.
It's conceivable.
Nah.
I wouldn't bet anything on it.
We're not getting a Mega Man game. Or it's going to be a Ben 10 universe Mega Man game, and it's going to look like, I don't know, a Ben 10 3DS game.
Yeah. It could go that way.
All right.
Would that be better than nothing? I don't know.
Well, I was going to be positive about this, and now I'm all... All right.
It's probably going to be better than Sonic Boom. Let's just say that.
Yeah, you know, I never even watched Sonic Boom, so I can't really judge it, but...
Well, if you got nothing else to say about that, I'll move on to our favorite news topic, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
I love that sound effect.
So, get a load of this. They have announced some new Amiibo over in Japan. I don't know if you're aware, but... Monster Hunter Stories is a Monster Hunter RPG spinoff that's coming to the 3DS later this year. And they've announced there are three Amiibo that are coming out with that as well. There's a male Rathalos rider, a female Rathalos rider, and Nibiru, who is a cat character. I can't really tell if he's supposed to be one of the felines or not, because he looks a little bit different. But hey, it's three new Amiibo, and they're Monster Hunter, and it's pretty cool. And the game looks pretty cool.
Are they riding Rathalos, or are they just Rathalos riders?
No, they are riding Rathalos. So these are pretty big Amiibo.
So that's two Amiibo for the price of one.
Well, the character is just sort of stuck on top of the Amiibo, kind of like Midna is stuck on top of Link.
But are there any other Amiibo where it's actually two things in one Amiibo?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Tommy and Timmy in Animal Crossing. There's two characters there.
Oh.
As I just said,
I didn't know that.
You know, Midna is riding Wolf Link in that one.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite ones is the Pikmin one with Captain Olimar and the three Pikmin there with him. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that. But this still, this is, you know, sort of a new thing just because it's really big. I mean, it's not a full-sized Rathalos or anything, but it's still pretty big because you got your Rathalos, the dragon-ish character, and that's got someone riding on top of it. So it's pretty nifty.
So it's not going to fit in my Amiibo carrier?
Probably not, but no promises right now. Of course, this game, Monster Hunter Stories, has not been announced for the U.S. yet. It's coming out in Japan on October 8th. That's also when the Amiibo are coming out. But, you know, will we get the game here? Will we get the Amiibo here? I imagine we'd only get the Amiibo if we got the game.
Yeah, and I'd say the only thing holding back something called Monster Hunter Stories is probably whatever amount of translation it involves.
Well, it is an RPG, so there's probably some fairly extensive translation involved. But for me, I think this game looks really cool. Because, as I mentioned before, sometimes it's been hard for me to really get into the Monster Hunter games. You know, you really, to get the most out of them, you have to have, you know, three friends around they're willing to play, or, you know, online they're willing to play. And there is a little bit of a barrier to entry. But, you know, I play RPGs all the time, and I feel like I could be able to just jump into this and, you know, get into it. Plus, the visual style was really appealing, so I'm crossing my fingers that it all will get announced for the U.S., maybe around E3 time or something. And if it doesn't, I'm probably going to import these suckers.
Yep. I don't think we're getting that game, but...
Well, I will I'll continue to cross my fingers on that. I will also continue to cross my fingers for some new Amiibo dioramas that are coming out in the near future.
Hmm.
Now, we've already seen some Kirby and Smash dioramas recently, but now there are two Splatoon dioramas coming out in July, I think on the 7th or so. And there is going to be a Squid Sisters stage and also the Kelp Dome area. And both of these, they have lots of, you know, additional stickers and extra little parts that you can use to make the scene the way you want it to be. And, of course, you know, those are meant to work with the upcoming Squid Sisters Amiibo and the new 3-pack. So that seems pretty cool.
Oh. But these are Japan only, these dioramas?
So far, they've only been announced for Japan. You know, the Kirby and Smash ones have not made it to the U.S. yet, nor have these been announced for North America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for now it's Japan only, but who knows?
Can these be ordered through Amazon Japan?
You know, I haven't checked Amazon Japan. I know you can definitely get them through places like Play Asia, but yeah, I'm not sure about Amazon Japan yet. Either way... you know, it's certainly something I'm considering.
My issue with, like, a diorama with these Amiibo, the bases are attached to the character, and if I want to display a figurine, I don't want a big black disc on the bottom of each, I don't know. I'm an old, like, curmudgeon, I don't know.
Well, you know, the Kirby and Smash ones actually have, like, these holes where you place the stand into them,
oh,
I think.
Oh, well, that's
so
cool.
So I think it works out pretty cool.
Well, I retract my ugly opinion. And also, what about the knitted Yoshi, the yarn Yoshi? There was no base on that, right?
You're right. They did not, now that you mention it. I mean, there is kind of a base, but it's not mounted on it. It's, you know, part of the figure. So, yeah. But unfortunately, there is no yarn Yoshi diorama. Although, if they did make one, that'd be pretty darn cool, in my opinion.
Because you have every color, you sick, sick, sick person.
There's only three colors plus a giant one.
Oh my god!
So, and one other bit of Amiibo news: if you are like me and you are addicted to Amiibo, you might be interested in knowing that the Kirby set, the four new Kirby Amiibo, along with the standalone Isabelle figures from Animal Crossing, all went up on Amazon within the last week, and they are all still available for purchase. They have not yet sold out. And likewise, the Splatoon Amiibo, the new 3-pack, the individual boy and individual girl, and the Squid Sisters are up on Best Buy for pre-ordering. So if you don't want to worry about if they're going to be hard to find on launch day, you can go on there, place an order, and not have to worry about it.
All right. I'm not collecting these things. I'm not even going to feign interest. Go ahead.
Okay, well... maybe some of this other Nintendo-related merchandise news would be more up your alley. So the first one that I want to talk about is that the folks at Good Smile have announced there is a Phoenix Wright Figma action figure coming out in Japan. And I know you're a big fan of the Figmas, right?
I love Figmas. They are super cool.
What do you like about them?
They're just really well done. They're articulated. They usually come with a bunch of extra hands and faces.
Yeah, they lots can of be accessories.
Posed in a ton of different ways. Lots of accessories. It's all very on model. So they put a lot of care into the paint. There's no messy paint work on it. If you look really closely at an Amiibo or at like a Skylander is kind of the worst, but the paint, you know, it's outside the lines and a Figma. I defy you to find a flaw in your new Figmas. They're really, really nice.
Yeah, they're very nice. I mean, you do pay for it. I mean, usually these things are like at least $50.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, they tend to come with lots of alternate parts and accessories. And they've shown four faces for Mr. Wright. He has his, you know, standard sort of, you know, stoic face, a yelling face, this goofy, embarrassed grin, and then this sort of, you know, screaming look of dismay. And of course, he has alternate hands as well, including naturally a pointing finger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have him, you know, pretend you're yelling out objection or whatever, you know, he has that finger to point at the opposition. They haven't shown any accessories yet, but you know what I would like to see?
No, but I would really like to see a physical piece of plastic that says objection on it with an exclamation point and maybe a stick that you can stick into it and have it hover above Phoenix Wright's head.
Like a giant dialogue bubble. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer. If that's missing, I'll feel like something is missing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will do it. They do all kinds of, you know, cool accessories like that. They make things that look like they're floating over characters' heads and things of that nature. Now, because it's Japanese, it will probably only be like, you know, the Japanese characters for objection and hold it, and probably not the English ones. But then again, they know that they have an audience in the U.S., so maybe we'll get lucky and we'll be able to get English ones as well. So
I'd be okay with either.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. And of course, you know, I'm a huge Phoenix Wright fan. I've been waiting for something like this for a long time. And for as long as the series has been around, they haven't really done action figures before. They've made these, you know, figurines that have been, you know, kind of crappy and cheap. But, you know, for me, this makes me very, very happy. And I really hope that they continue the series and they make an Edgeworth and a Maya and any other characters that, you know, they feel like they can put out there in action figure form. That would be really cool.
I agree.
Another bit of merchandise I noticed the other day is that up on Amazon, you can buy a Shovel Knight book that is called Shovel Knight, Codes of Shovelry Handbook. Unfortunately, it doesn't really say what it is, but it's only 80 pages.
Yeah.
It's only $7. And it seems like it's, you know, marketed as a kid's book, I guess, but I'm not sure what it is.
For $7, I don't expect to get more than like a coloring book or like an activity book. Are you sure this isn't one of those?
I'm not sure, but I mean, they do describe it a little bit, and they say it's like, you know, getting to learn about the characters and the world and give you gameplay tips. So I'm thinking maybe it's, you know, like sort of a fan book, like is what they sometimes call this stuff in Japan. Maybe combined with a strategy guide. And it is kind of weird they would do such a thing so long after the game has come out.
Yeah.
But, you know, weirder things have happened.
I don't know any kids that know who Shovel Knight is. Am I out of touch?
That's right.
I know who Shovel Knight is because I love the game, but I don't see any kids playing retro-styled platformers anytime soon. I don't know. Maybe I'm jaded. And
well, I don't know, but I'm just glad to see some Shovel Knight merchandise coming out. So hopefully we'll find out more about it, and it turns out to be something really cool.
Hmm.
And one other bit of merchandise that was released recently Super Mario Monopoly. You have any interest in this?
I thought we already had a Super Mario Monopoly, did we not?
You know, there have been lots of other Nintendo Monopolies, and they make, you know, so many different licensed Monopolies, it is pretty hard to keep track. But if they have done one before, this is definitely a new version. But you're right, they have done just a Nintendo Monopoly with Mario on it, okay. So it could be that you're thinking of that
one.
Yeah,
I am. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a new Super Mario Monopoly that replaces the common Monopoly pieces and characteristics with specific Nintendo stuff. Like for your tokens, you get Mario, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, aka Peach, Toad, a Super Mushroom, and a 1-Up Mushroom. And then the houses and hotels are replaced by goal poles and castles. And, oh, of course, you know, the money all has coins on it. And the community chest and chants are replaced by question mark blocks and warp pipes.
I think they missed out on a big opportunity here.
Oh, what's that?
I mean, the original Monopoly pieces, like, for the shoe, they could have done, like, Kuribo shoe. And for, like, the car, they could have done a Mario Kart car. What do you mean you guess? And for the boat, it could have been an airship. What? Come on. Who should be working over at the Monopoly factory telling them what to make?
Some good points. And I understand why they want to stick with the you know, some of the most iconic characters from the game, but you make some very good points.
I make real good points. You could easily put Peach in, I don't know, in the car. You could put Toad on the airship. Missed opportunity. Who you want to play as a Super Mushroom?
No one wants to play as a Super Mushroom. Weak. You're right about that.
That's weak. Anyway, boy, am I sour. I'm just sour. And the last time, okay, so I know what. I have a bone to pick. The Nintendo Monopoly, the one that had all the different IPs. It had a Zelda and it had a Link in it, and it had some stuff from Super Mario Brothers. They put on the back of the box, they put Zelda's sword, and people were up in arms about that. So obviously it's not Zelda's sword.
They call the green
sword.
Dude Zelda, huh?
It's Link's sword. So yeah.
I was unaware of that.
I'm so negative. I gotta have something to say.
I do have the Zelda Monopoly, but I don't have the Nintendo Monopoly. Mm. Anyway, despite the missed opportunities you mentioned, it is out there. It's available now, and you can pick it up for about $40.
That's $20 too much for me. But I'm sure you're going to pick it up, so I'll play it at your house.
Well, I'm not going to get that, but there is some other pseudo-Nintendo-related merchandise I am planning to spend a big bundle on.
Okay, what is that?
And that is these upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game toys. They're going to be sold exclusively at San Diego Comic-Con.
These are cool. Somebody tweeted a picture of them, and I saw it in my feed, and I was like, well, there's money I'm spending on that.
And I kind of hate to bring it up, because these are based on the arcade game, and of course, on Nintendo, we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, which came out all the way back in 1990.
Yep.
But these toys are decorated not to look like the NES port, but the original arcade game. So I'm kind of, you know, stretching what we do on the show here. But here's the thing. They just look so darn freaking cool that I had to bring it up.
Because
there's
cool.
Two box sets. There's one with the four turtles, and then there's one with Shredder and three foot soldiers of various colors, a white one, a red one, and a purple one. Mm. And they've all got, you know, pixels all over them, so they kind of look like video game characters, which is something that the manufacturer, Nika, has done in the past. They've done that whole video game series. They've done a lot of their licensed characters in these video game boxes. They've got Bill and Lance from Contra coming out soon, all decoed with pixels on them, mm-hmm. and they look pretty cool. But these turtles, they're super darn cool. It's $100 for each set, though.
Oh man!
So $200 for the whole thing, only being sold at Comic-Con. So unless you're there at the show, you are out of luck. But what the heck, thought I would bring it up anyway.
Well, I'll be there.
Ah, excellent.
Would you like me to pick you up some turtles if I can swing it?
I would. That would be fantastic. All
right. Well, you're going to have to
give me... I'll be poor like a hobo. I'll have to live in my own sewer lair.
So you're going to buy both boxes. That's $200 plus whatever tax.
Look, man, I actually bought a Ninja Turtles arcade board so I could play that game in its original authentic arcade form back before it was ever released on Xbox Live. So when it comes to this game, I can be pretty nuts about it. All right. Yeah, that would be fan-freaking-tastic.
All right.
And I guess that does it for our news segment of the show. So let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about what we want to see in the new Legend of Zelda for Wii U. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is what we would like to see from the upcoming new Zelda game for Wii U. As has been well documented, this is pretty much going to be the only thing that Nintendo has on display at E3 in a few weeks, and we will be finding all about the game then. But while we wait for that to happen, I thought, hey, let's just put all our ideas on the table and kind of discuss what kind of things we would want to see in the game. So, Scott, you want to kick us off and tell us the kinds of things you'd want to see in the next Zelda?
Okay, I'm going to start off with the big guns. This game absolutely must have real voice acting. It cannot have some text on the screen that I have to read and then some weird music or sound effect to mimic what the character might sound like if they were an oboe. So yeah, that's what I want.
Yes, I agree. It has been far too long that Zelda hasn't quite had the AAA production values that it's deserved. And I completely think that they need to do that for this one. Fortunately, this has been a rumor. According to some sources, this will be in the game. So it, it seems probable that it actually will be in there. And I'm crossing my fingers that is the case. But yeah, it's something that's been lacking in Zelda for a long time. And it feels like to, take it back up to, its top tier position that it deserves. It's got to be in there.
Yeah. It to compete, it has to. It really has to. Because it mm-hmm. needs to be bigger than the Nintendo audience. It has to reach into the audience that's playing games like Fallout and The Last of Us and mm-hmm. Uncharted.
Yep, absolutely. And to go along with that, I want to bring up another topic that has been a source of rumors and speculation that I would like to see in the game, and that is the female Link.
Oh yeah, that would be really, really great.
And personally, I would love to see, just it only being a female Link. We know that's not the case. We know that there is a male Link. And so if it's in this one, it will be a choice like it is in Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And, for me, I feel like you'd be able to make a better narrative if you know specifically what the gender of your character is. But I'm not going to be that picky about it. I've just been wanting a female Link for a long, long time. I felt it just seems like such a normal thing for a game where you've got sort of a blank slate character who is the reincarnated hero, time and time again. Why is it always a dude? It doesn't need to always be a dude. It's always a different character. So why not have a female Link? So I certainly hope that rumor is true and that is in there.
I just hope that if they put the female Link in, they're not thinking, let's not do a voice for Link, because then we'd have to do a male voice and a female voice. And that would make me sad.
Well, I mean, Link doesn't usually talk at
all. Yeah, but why can't he? I mean, this is one of those things.
Well, their excuse has always been that they want you to project yourself into the character, which is why it makes so much sense that there would be a female Link, because before, you're asking half of the audience to project yourself into a different gender. So I don't really expect that Link is going to get all talkative, whether he has multiple genders or one gender, and I just called him a he, haha. But I think that's going to stay the way it always has been, and I don't mind that. It doesn't bother me at all if Link wants to stay quiet. I'm totally cool with that. But you want Link to talk.
I do. Huh? I think it would make for a better story. It would feel more real and immersive if you gave Link a voice and he had a personality. Because right now, Link doesn't really have a personality.
I mean, I've always really liked the character just because it has, these basic admirable traits of, courage and heroic. But you're right. Other than that, there's not a whole lot to him. And as I said, I'm fine with keeping him kind of blank. But again, as with the gender thing being fixed, letting him talk a lot would also add a whole lot more to the narrative potential.
As long as it's not that awful, excuse me, princess.
I don't know, man. If they had Link talk throughout the whole game and he never said that line even once, I would be a little disappointed, to be honest.
I'll give you that. Okay.
And then I guess the other, third thing that is a super obvious one and something that Nintendo has strongly, strongly hinted at is that this will just be a completely vast game and it's going to be, very nonlinear, even more than what we saw in A Link Between Worlds, which was sort of their experiment to nonlinearity.
Yeah.
So I expect that to go, far and beyond what they were doing there.
Like, how far and beyond? Are we talking like Witcher 3, like Skyrim type far and beyond, where I'm playing for 150 hours?
Well, I haven't played either of those, so I can't really say how it would compare as far as being nonlinear goes. But certainly, I'd expect that you'd be able to go to the dungeons in a much more varied order. Maybe not necessarily any order you want, but I don't know. Then again, maybe they could find a way to do it in any order you
want. I don't know if that's enough for me. I might want more.
Well, I definitely think there should be a lot in there, because if the game is going to be huge and vast and have this big overworld, there has to be a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the one thing that worried me when they showed that footage. More than a year ago, they showed Link riding through the forest, like, oh, look at this big forest you can ride through. Oh, we have such a big area. It's like, well, it's cool that it's really big, but unless there's awesome stuff everywhere, there's kind of no point to that. So I'm hoping that they just, they really make this place big and really lived in and, a real living, breathing world. Like, usually there's, maybe two towns. Maybe there's a third town, with the Lon Lon Ranch in the middle of somewhere. I guess Twilight Princess had, three towns plus the ghost town? Yeah, I guess there was more if you count the other races. But, this I expect to see a whole lot more. There were, eight towns in Zelda 2, so I expect to see at least that number of towns. But, all these should have, their own unique characters and shops and side quests. And, different things you can do and learn there. So just having all of that stuff out there is, I think, really key to making this world, something that you really, really, really want to explore.
Yeah.
And to go along with the nonlinearity part of that, I would kind of like for them to do away with the convention of only getting your items in the dungeons. And of course they did that in A Link Between Worlds. They had the shop guy who'd rent you out these weapons.
Yeah. You could rent substandard versions of those weapons. You weren't getting the primo version of that weapon from the rental
weren't you?
Shop. Yeah.
I seem to remember you being able to get it just if you ever, lost, if you died while you were doing that, you would lose it. You'd have to go back and get it again. Although if you did have enough money, you could just buy it outright and then you could have all that stuff. And I wasn't a big fan of that because, for one thing, I felt like you could get the stuff way too fast, way too easily, and just renting it from a shop isn't really fun as far as I'm concerned. So what I would like to see them do is just make, multiple ways to get some of this stuff, like just put it out in the overworld somewhere instead of in a dungeon. Mm-hmm. And the way I envision it, it's like, okay, if you go to the top of this mountain, maybe you'll get the hook shot there. But if you go to this dungeon first, you'll maybe find the hook shot there.
Do we have to have another Zelda game with a hook shot?
Well, first of all, yes, we do need a hookshot, because the hookshot is the best item in all of Zelda.
We don't need a hookshot.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do. Because a hookshot is awesome.
I honestly think I would more enjoy maybe to craft, you know, gear, weapons, stuff, a crafting system. Would you want that in a Zelda game?
Well, you know, they had some crafting to upgrade your items in Skyward Sword, and I wasn't a huge fan of the way that worked. I don't really remember why, but mm-hmm. I do remember feeling it very inconvenient. But before I move on to that, just let me finish my thought with the items here. And I guess it does kind of tie in to upgrading, because, you know, depending on what order, you know, in my theoretical Zelda game you do this in, like, if you go to the dungeon first, you get the hook shot, or I should say the claw shot. Or if you go up to this mountain first, you get the claw shot. But if you do it in the reverse order, that's like, okay, well, now I get the upgrade version. I get the double claw shots. Or, you know, if it's the the boomerang, you know, first you get the regular boomerang, and then you get the homing boomerang, and then you get, you know, the boomerang that's homing and has the tornado, the blows when you attack with it. So, you know, at first, when you get that first boomerang, no matter where you find it, it's like, okay, well, this will let me, you know, hit, you know, these switches or whatever. And now I can go to, you know, so many, dungeons at this point. But I think by mixing up and making it out on the overworld, it's like, well, I don't have to complete this dungeon first to do it. No, I found this thing just through exploring, and I now have all this other stuff available to me. And I would just kind of love to see something along those lines implemented.
I think they should get a little more adventurous. Maybe it's not this whole like overworld for, I don't know, half of the game and dungeon crawling for half the game. I'd like other experiences. Can there be more than just dungeons and I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think I'd really want to see Zelda trying to do something other than that. I'm not really sure what they would do. Of course, hopefully Mr. Anuma and the guys working on the game are able to think outside that more than I am. But if they're, you know, if they got rid of dungeons or something, that would be really weird.
I know they wouldn't, but, you know, I'm trying to think of other games I've played in the last, I don't know, 3 years, and I can't really think of one that has that dungeon paradigm the way that the Zelda games do.
Well, I think that's one of the things that makes Zelda fun and special. And I mean, it's still a convention in most RPGs, so certainly it's been in a lot of stuff I've played. But that's not something I really want to see go away personally.
I want 60 frames per second gameplay. You think I'm getting that?
Oh, yes. I would like to see it, but I wouldn't bet on it. I think we'll certainly get a solid 30, but when we've got such a big, vast world, apparently, I don't really know if we'll be able to nail it down at 60, but I certainly hope so.
Okay, and are you concerned at all that these are disc-based games, and I have yet to play a game on the Wii U that has, you know, these ridiculous loading times? Do you think we're going to encounter this where we're running across this vast landscape and all of a sudden, please wait, loading
the next? I think they'll be able to manage
it. You
think so? I think they know what they're doing.
All right.
Let's see here. Another thing I would like to see, though, that ties into, you know, a vast world would be new forms of transportation. Because, you know, if the place really is that big, I don't know if you want to just be, you know, riding on horseback all this way constantly. So I wouldn't mind to see them, you know, bring back some of the old forms of transportation from mm-hmm. previous games. Like, you know, the raft was a really important item in Zelda 1 and Zelda 2. And then it, you know, sort of fell by the wayside. So it'd be kind of nice to see that, or some form of water transportation to get you, you know, across water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe eventually you'll even get something, you know, that would take you even faster and further. You know, maybe there's a train again. Maybe there's train stations.
If there's a train, you're coming over to my house to drive it every time I got to get in the damn train.
It would be better. It'll be better than whatever is in Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, let's waggle our Wii's while train travel. My gosh.
Okay, well, how about this then? How about if eventually you get a spell to turn the opponent into a Pegasus and then she can fly?
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Well, believe it or not, back when Skyward Sword was coming out and I was interviewing Mr. Anuma, I was talking to him about, because this takes place in Skyloft, you know, is there any chance that Epona will be a Pegasus in this game? And he was like, oh, huh, I didn't think of that. And of course, you know, it didn't end up, you know, in the game. You ride around on the loft wings and there is no Epona. But, if they do let Epona be a Pegasus in this game, please give Nintendo Power credit for it.
Or you. That would be amazing. What if he really like took that to heart and was like, that guy's got something there.
Well, my coworkers were very pro Pegasus also, so I wouldn't want to take all the credit, even if they weren't there for the interview.
Well, I'm glad you used that time with Anuma constructively and didn't ask for him to sign your DSI or whatever you had. So your flying Pegasus Epona makes me think of one of my points, which was a negative, not a thing I'd like to see, but a thing I don't want to see. And I do not want to see anything overly gimmicky that's going to hurt my fun. You know,
I guess that's fair to say.
Pee in my Cheerios.
Gross.
And here I'm talking about, I know this is going to sound real negative, that I have to play the game as a wolf and collect tears and just make myself miserable for
it wasn't that much
4 hours, and it's bad. It was bad. I love Majora's Mask, and I know the whole thing kind of revolves around the fact that you have to turn back time and play things again over in a different way, or you have to fast forward a day so you can go somewhere in the town for a certain event. I don't think I have the patience for that. So I don't want a gimmick wherein I have to, a gimmick that requires undue levels of patience will make me drop this game. Or a gimmick that may involve me flying as Pegasus Epona and I have to use the Wii U gamepad to shoot things out of the sky. I have to aim with my gamepad
that could be fun, actually.
Oh, for crying out loud. I want to be able to play the game with the what's the pro controller called? Is it the pro controller?
I think it must be
the non-screen controller. I don't hate the screen controller. The gamepad, I don't hate it, but I hate games that force me to look and play a game through this 480p screen. It's not ideal. I don't want to have to wonder where I should be looking, either at my TV or at my gamepad, like in Star Fox.
Fair enough.
So I just hope that there's no super annoying gimmick, waggling Wiimotes and whistling into the microphone and closing the screen and opening it so I could solve the puzzle.
That was a good puzzle. Man, you bring up all these things I actually liked, I think. But on the other hand, you know, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker HD, I think both of them, the gamepad, were optional. So hopefully they will keep this optional. Plus, they have to make it work on NX. And so, you know, who knows what kind of controller that thing is going to have. So I think you might be in luck there when it comes to, you know, multiple controller options, which is weird because Nintendo usually doesn't like to give multiple controller options. I'm surprised they have been for these titles. So, but it's fair enough.
I have a question for you. Are you going to wait for this game to come out on the NX, or are you going to play it on the Wii U?
Well, I'm guessing they're coming out at the exact same time. I'm just totally guessing. I mean, they're both supposed to come out next year in 2017. And I'm pretty sure they could bring the Wii U out one this Christmas if they wanted to. But I think they're intentionally trying to not cannibalize sales of the NX versions. I think we're going to see them both come out
at
the same time.
But they're only demoing the Wii U version.
Right. But let me go back to what you were saying about, you don't want there to be bad gimmicks in the game. And obviously we don't want bad gimmicks, but I don't mind, a cool gameplay hook. So let me talk to you about a few of the gameplay hooks that have been, good and popular in past Zelda titles. So should it have two worlds like we saw in, Link to the Past or in Ocarina of Time with the past and the present?
I would say yes, but I wouldn't want the overworld to be this, limited size because, but there's a whole other version of this world and it's just the exact same world and we re-textured it and it's the dark version of the overworld. And we just threw in a couple different overworld enemies and you've got twice the game. That would feel a little hollow to me. I think that A Link Between Worlds did it right with the light and the dark world, where the dark world really did feel like a whole, it really felt like I had 100% of a game and now all of a sudden I had 200% of a game. I would love that kind of experience. Or like Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS, where you play halfway through and you think that's the whole game and holy cow, there's a whole second game in here. I would love to be surprised by something like that. I don't want to be expecting it. I would love to feel like, my gosh, this is a huge world I get to play in. And then all of a sudden something happens and, oh my gosh, it's doubled in size. But I would hate for that doubling in size to just be a mirrored version of the current, landscape with...
Yeah, we'd certainly want them to do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm envisioning just the regular world being so ginormous and vast that it's like, man, would we really want to get a second version of this? Maybe not. I think it would probably be fine if they didn't have that. Or maybe it would just be certain select parts we could go to an alternate version. That way they wouldn't have to worry about making, two humongous, gigantic worlds, but could just focus on honing, some really specific good parts into an alternate version. So maybe that would be a way to do it. But I kind of feel like it's not a necessary thing.
Mm-hmm.
What about a musical instrument? It seems like there's always a musical instrument in Zelda games. So is that a convention that should come back?
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to be completely hating on gimmicks. And I know playing the ocarina by pressing keys, buttons in a certain order is kind of
part of the lore.
And it's it is kind of fun. But I'm trying to think of games that forced me to do,
Handheld ones.
What was that Castlevania game where you had to draw runes on the bottom screen?
Oh, I think that's
a kind of gimmick that I would hate to see, where I'm just drawing the same pattern on the Wii U gamepad because I'm gonna, it's gonna light a torch or something.
I think it was Dawn of Sorrow, for the record. Yeah, that's another thing I hadn't thought of. But I don't think we need any of those. We had some weird touchscreen stuff and blowing into spirit tracks, and that didn't work out very well.
Yeah.
But I do think that the musical instruments have been such an important part of, Zelda mythos ever since the very beginning. Play the recorder, teleport to the new area, play the flute, make the bug disappear, play the ocarina and have the bird come and teleport you. It's always been there. So I want to see it exist in some form. Does it need to be a huge gimmick? I guess that depends on what they're able to come up with. I certainly wouldn't mind. The ocarina, it was really cool. They had lots of cool stuff to do with it. The baton from Wind Waker, not so much.
Yeah.
So, he can be carrying around an entire, brass band in his pants for all I care, as long as they think of something neat to do with it. So I think that would be fun. I would also like to see the return of a nice, robust magic system.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, You know, magic has kind of been a part of a lot of Zelda games, but it never feels like it's been fully formed to me. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Zelda 2, they didn't have items so much. They mostly had the magic system. That's what it was all about. You know, didn't really get new gear, but you did get these new spells. And so I still want to have all the items and gear, but I also want to have the magic. And so, you know, maybe instead of finding fire arrows or ice arrows, you'd be able to, you know, there was a fire spell in Zelda 2. So maybe in this, you'd be like, okay, I'm going to use a fire spell mm-hmm. on, you know, I'll use it on my sword to have a flame sword, or on my arrows to have flaming arrows, or I'll use it on myself and I can be protected against certain elements. And they could do that the same, you know, for ice and light and darkness and other elements. So you'd be able to use it for, you know, powering up your attacks as well as your defense. But then I'd like to see, you know, like specific spells are only for attack, you know, kind of like they had the three medallions in Link to the Past, mm-hmm. and they had, you know, those handful of spells in Ocarina of Time. You know, healing spell, of course, seems like an obvious one. Defense spell to you know, strengthen your hit points, like they had in Zelda 2.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that, you know, people have come to expect in, you know, like Western style RPGs.
Yeah.
That I think would be a really good type of inclusion in this. I don't want them to seem, you know, I don't want it to go crazy. I don't want them to do too much because, you know, that can be, you know, really overwhelming. But if they kept it to like between maybe 8 to 12 spells, that's something I would really, really like to see in the game. Mm-hmm. And it was like the one thing that I thought, you know, was kind of missing in Twilight Princess, where they were like, okay, we've sort of done everything, you know, that we've thought of in past Zelda games, but that was like, you know, they're like, but there's no magic meter for some reason.
Yeah.
No spells, no magic. I mean, people have other complaints about that game, but, you know, to each their own. Yeah. Anything else on your end?
Yeah, and this is kind of out there. And only because people are still playing Fallout 4 because they're building their little town. I would love to see something not on the level of like ActRaiser, where you're building a, you know, like a Sim City, but I'd love to mm-hmm. be able to build a house and a town inside of this game. And
actually, I really like that idea. Each, I hadn't thought of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and each, I guess each new building would give you more abilities, and you could build a smith and get a different weapon, but you have to
mm-hmm. or temper your weapons
exactly,
or something.
I think and this could be money-based or skill-based, and you'd...
Or maybe it's part of some big side quest, you know, like, you know, you rescue... You know, the last game was rescuing those little, you know, octopus characters.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you're rescuing something that, you know, they come, they live in your little fortress, and each one, you know, will start building up a new establishment or, you know, making the place larger or building up the defenses or something. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Suikoden, which is one of my all-time favorite RPGs.
I wouldn't want it to devolve into, like, a tower defense type system, but, I'd love to just have some, I don't know, just the power to build a really cool little town and use, I don't know, even decorate it with a town square and a fountain and a weather vane and...
Put something in there that's sort of like, yes, this is my own Zelda. This is my stamp. Yep. This is my personal Hyrule.
Ooh, and then we can visit each other's towns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
it's a good one.
It'll be better than Animal Crossing.
One thing that I would like to see added would be what I'm calling Amiibo Dungeons. And I think that might have been something that I've talked about on the podcast before. But... You know, we're going to have these big old vast worlds full of, you know, hopefully towns and side quests and all this stuff. And out there, I want to have these dungeons that you can unlock if you have Amiibo. Maybe there's going to be some sort of Amiibo functionality in the game, but I'm kind of thinking these special dungeons, if you have the Amiibo, you just put those on your gamepad and that will unlock the dungeon for you and you can go in there and have a little bonus adventure. I would hate to see, you know, people who aren't Amiibo fans get locked out. So, you know, maybe you just have to pay some amount of rupees and you'll be able to enter the dungeon instead. But I think that would be a cool Amiibo function to put in there to reward players that have stocked up on their plastic toys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big Amiibo fan, and I really do believe that, like 3/4 of the Amiibo collectors are keeping them in the plastic case, and you can't even use the functionality if it's inside the, you know, in the original packaging. I just hope they don't go overboard with the Amiibo stuff, because I don't want to be locked out of a dungeon just because.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right. There needs to be around it, because.
Yeah.
In Super Mario Maker, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because I don't have the Amiibo, because I can unlock all those things, or most
right,
of them.
Right, right. Yep, exactly. I mean, we know that there's going to be some sort of, you know, cross-functionality with Twilight Princess HD using the Midna and Wolf Link Amiibo. So who knows what that's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if that is exclusive to the Amiibo. But these other things I'm proposing would just be a sort of a quick way to unlock it if you've, you know, plunked down your $13 for this Amiibo, that you don't have to spend time, you know, earning, you know, the 200 rupees you would need to unlock it in the game. Yeah. So that is my proposal there. Do you think that the stamina meter from Skyward Sword should return?
No, I don't think that's fun. I think that's just annoying.
Well, I have to agree with you there. I would also cut that out. And they also had those, there was a meter for your shield, wasn't there? So, and that's so weird, because that game was all about, you know, the sword play. Mm-hmm. But if you use your shield, it would break. And you're like, well, I got no shield. So I would almost never go into battle using it. So, yeah, I would love to see them do away with those meters, so you can just be, you know, running all over the place. If running is still a thing in the new game. And, you know, obviously you're going to be able to use your shield, not worry about it being rendered useless. So.
Well, Epona usually has a stamina meter, right? I guess if there's going to be fast travel, I would hope that Epona doesn't get tired if I keep whipping her.
Well, she didn't have a stamina meter, but you did. You could only use like your 6
carrots,
carrots or spurs or whatever. And after that, you had to,
but that's a
recharge
stamina
a little
meter,
bit.
Right? I mean,
it's pretty similar. I guess you could call
when
it
you
that.
Think about
it's not, but it's close enough.
I don't know. When I think about other games with fast travel, they're not penalizing you for trying to go faster.
Well, you make a good point.
Trying to get across a vast landscape and you're making my horse get tired every, I don't know, 15 seconds, I'm going to get annoyed.
Yeah, I guess that's not really how I looked at it, but you make a very good point about that. It does seem fairly unnecessary for them to do that. Anything else on your list?
I think that was it.
Well, I've got one more important.
All right.
One. And I guess this is a question to pose to you. Should Ganon be back as the big bad guy?
Are we talking pig face Ganon? Or are we talking green Ganon face? Ganondorf Ganon?
Well, I guess either one. I don't know about green, though. Is he green?
Isn't he?
Olive, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he's green, isn't he?
I thought it was more brownish. Brown. But anyway, I don't know, human form or pig form. I like the pig form, so I kind of think both. I think he should be there as a dude as well as turning into a pig. You know, they did that in Ocarina. They did that in Twilight Princess. I thought they did it especially well in Twilight Princess. I really like both his forms, where the pig form was, you know, just one aspect of the final boss battle. So I would be down with that. But one way or the other, I totally think that Ganon should be back in the game.
Okay.
I mean, he's such an iconic part of The Legend of Zelda.
So you're mentioning Ganon did make me think of my one last thing that I didn't write down. I would love for them to take some liberties and throw some Easter eggs in there for the longtime fans. Stuff from the original game, you know. It's dangerous to go alone, take this. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, I am error. I don't mind that
yes.
kind of stuff.
Yes, they should bring back error. That would be great.
Yeah, I like that kind of fan service. I think that would work really well in a game like this, where they're kind of seem like they're gonna reboot the franchise. What do you think?
Yeah, that might be especially cool in a year. The big anniversary year. This is the 30th anniversary of Zelda, so that might be a cool way to. Well, I guess it's not coming out till next year, so who cares about that? Regardless, it still would be cool to throw in a lot of nods to fans of the classic series. Like you said, Air would be a cool one. You know, it seems like in a lot of the games they have the it's a secret to everybody. There's some variation on that in there. So, yeah, I'm certainly all for that. I'd also be all for, you know, seeing some new, you know, items and weapons in there. You know, earlier on, you were kind of joking, do we need to have the hookshot again? And again, I contend that the hookshot or the clawshot is the best Zelda weapon, so I think that should always be in there. But I would like to see it mixed up with new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of ways to, you know, maim people, so, you know, Link doesn't need to always just be fighting with a sword. You know, he's had big hammers sometimes. Maybe he could be a spear fighter. Maybe, yeah. You know, I could see him doing something cool with a, you know, big, long stick. Could be used for both combat, maybe for, you know, vaulting over things and stuff like that.
Or a yo-yo.
a yo-yo, huh? This isn't Star Tropics, you know.
Or Rygar.
Yeah. Yeah, the disc armor, as that
is
called.
Yeah, disc armor, giant yo-yo.
But, yeah. Lots of additional weapons would be in there. But going back to Gan, you didn't answer my question. Would you want Gan to be in there? And would you want to be Pig Gan or not?
I'd say, I don't know. I think they could do better than Ganon. I think I wouldn't mind seeing a new villain, somebody even worse than Ganon.
Well, that's where I was going with that. Because I want Gan to be in there. And I want him to, you know, be his usual evil self, but then I want to find that there is somebody even worse than Gan out there.
Somebody pulling the
strings. You know, well, maybe pulling the strings, maybe just, you know, working his own agenda. But maybe the only way to defeat this ultimate bad guy is to unite the Triforces of power, wisdom, and courage. Maybe Gan could even end up being an ally of sorts for a part of the game to go up against someone who's even stronger and tougher. But you know, I do want him in there one way or the other. So.
And are we going to get a Navi? Is there going to be a Navi following us around, being annoying? Three things that it says every time?
I hope not.
You hope not.
I mean, there is always a partner character, it seems. So I would expect a partner character. But yeah, hopefully nothing as annoying as Navi. Anyway, unless you've got anything else to add, I think that finishes off this discussion, and I guess that means that this is kind of it for this week's show. But before we finish it off, I've still got time for one more thing. You know what that is?
A dramatic reading.
That's right, a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Clash at Demon Head. Can a one-man engine of destruction prevent mankind's extinction? Professor Plum and his designs for the dreaded death-dealing doomsday device, Dead End, are in the clutches of the diabolical lawbreakers, a sinister society dedicated to the destruction of mankind. It's only a matter of time before the Dead End device is assembled and the final countdown to global Armageddon begins. As Sergeant Billy Big Bang Blitz, the youngest and gutsiest commando of the Special Assault Brigade for Real Emergencies, Saber, your mission is to foil the lawbreaker's insidious plot. To accomplish your mission, you must find the shortest route to the summit of Demon Head Mountain, where the poor professor is being held prisoner. Rescue the professor and you save the world from total destruction. But if you should fail.
What?
It doesn't say. It just ends with an ellipsis.
That's so lazy. That's so lazy. Are you serious?
Yep.
And that bad Billy butt face, what is that? Your character is called Big Bad Billy Butt. What is it?
Billy Blitz. I believe.
What was the full thing?
Sergeant Billy Big Bang Blitz. Yes.
Oh my god.
And he's rescuing Professor Plum.
Professor Plum. That
yes.
They really.
He was killed.
Somebody
in
at
the study
like Toys R Us,
stick.
And they're like, "Oh, here's a game. It's called Clue. Let's see if we can steal our villain or the person you're supposed to rescue from this box, and we'll just, Oh, man.
Yeah, what you don't know is that the leader of the Lawbreakers is Colonel Mustard.
What's sad is that it seems like they put more time and effort into that back-of-the-box thing than they put into the game. Looking at... Oh, man.
Well, I've never actually played it myself, but yeah, I haven't heard good things.
Garbage. I mean...
Clash of Demon Head's a great name, though. I'll give it that much.
I don't think so. Who did they get to write this crap? And did that game get the Nintendo seal of quality? Come on. For real?
You better believe it.
Ugh. All right.
All right, then. That does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And that reminds me, we have gotten some emails since last episode, and we'll be reading those next week, I believe.
All right.
But hey, we're always ready to have more. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes.
Yeah, rate us. Rate that podcast.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Too Hot Scott Michella.
No gimmicks.
And our favorite sponsor, the merchant from Resident Evil 4.
Ah, I'll buy it at a high price.
We will see you next time.